Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin. And this week I have Alan Batchelder, a retired family therapist, back. We're going to talk about energy therapy and post-traumatic stress disorder. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Ann.
Okay, so let's start with some definitions. I'd like to start with defining. You have a different take on what PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, is. So let's start with that.
Well, I would say that I'm not sure it's a different take on what it is, but how it's thought about.
Okay.
But I define PTSD as a condition on which a person continues to live with the stressors that are active under conditions that are threatening. For example, anything can be life-threatening if you're in a car wreck or if you're in combat or any number of things.
Or you're being beat up.
Yes,
exactly. Or you think you're going to be beat up.
Right. Mm-hmm. This developed very early in the development of human beings. In the very early days, human beings were more food than hunter and had to be very, very alert to predators. And the part of the brain that is alert to danger, it's called the amygdala, is a very interesting part of the brain because it picks up information. It perceives light, sound, movement at a level that the person is not conscious of. So before you know you see something, the amygdala has already seen it and begun to act on it.
So it's figuring out, is this a hostile stimulus, or is this friendly?
Is this a threat? Mm-hmm. And if it's through experience, if the amygdala has learned what's a threat and what isn't, it doesn't wait for instruction. It automatically activates the sympathetic nervous system. And that's the part of the nervous system that prepares you for fighting, for aggression or counter-aggression, for running away, or for being very, very still, for going invisible. They call it fight, flight, or freeze. And the amygdala does that before the consciousness is aware of that. So
you can't just think yourself out of this.
Exactly, yeah. Because the amygdala has learned through experience what's threatening and what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything that resembles that kind of a threat will activate the sympathetic nervous system.
You know, and I have seen that over the years with patients. Someone who's been in a serious car accident, every time they are watching the news and there's something similar to their experience, they're triggered into one of these responses, even though they know darn well it isn't them, but it reminds them of it reminds their amygdala of the previous threat. And so they're triggered and then they're freaked out again.
Exactly. Well, PTSD has become really well known since the veterans of the Vietnam War and then subsequent wars have returned and are really symptomatic. They awake in the night and an altered state of awareness and things put them in a fighting mode,
mm-hmm.
that don't put anybody else in a fighting mode.
Right, a loud noise, right. Somebody coming up behind them.
And they know that this is not an appropriate response, but it's completely out of their control, and it doesn't go away, and talk therapy doesn't help it. Most of the standard therapies don't work, and drugs are used a lot, pharmaceuticals, to calm the person. But it's what they're doing is overriding the actions of the amygdala, but they're not doing anything to prevent it or to alter that.
So, do you think that the amygdala response can be changed?
Yes, I do. I think this is the model that I use, and whether this matches what the medical profession understands about the amygdala and its role doesn't really matter to me, because this is a working model that I use that is based essentially on experience with clients and with various therapies. So it's possible in my language to recondition or reframe the amygdala's response. The the model is essentially like the old early warnings, the distant early warning system. I don't know if you remember that, but it was in the days when we were in terrible fear of having the Russians send nuclear weapons over the the poles and bomb us. When kids were being trained to
get under the desk.
Yes, get under their desk.
I grew up with that. Yes,
and people were building shelters in their yards. In those days,
right,
we had the distant early warning system as a line of sensitive receiving systems about the Arctic Circle and above Canada that were. Electronically tuned to anything coming over the horizon that would look like missiles. And when, as soon as something like that was detected, the system was programmed to go red alert, and the Strategic Air Command was alerted, and our counter measures all went into action. The Nike missiles came up out of their silos, and SAC had planes in the air. That was the whole plan, that we would not be caught off guard. Well, one morning or one evening, one night at some time, in the distant early warning system, the alarms went off. It was conditioned red because it read a whole fleet of IBMs were coming over the horizon, and they were just about to push the panic buttons, and somebody said, I got to check this. Went outside and discovered that a glitch in the system identified the moon as this cluster of missiles, and it didn't happen. But it's a matter of a glitch in the programming. So if we consider the amygdala our own personal distant early warning plan, and it's been trained to protect us from harm that isn't really there, there's got to be some way to reprogram that. Well, the energy therapy has proven to be a pathway to reprogramming the amygdala.
Okay, so what is energy therapy?
Energy therapy is it's a growing field in psychotherapy that more and more research is demonstrating the efficacy of using stimulation of certain points on the body while the person is tuned into the problem state, at somehow reducing the tension, reducing the force of the stimulus, and allowing calming to take place. And once that happens, it just seems to become incorporated into the body's defense system, and instead of activating the sympathetic nervous system, that the cue that formerly did doesn't do that. If it does anything, it might activate the calming response, the parasympathetic nervous system.
Which does the opposite.
Now, it doesn't really matter to me exactly how that happens. What matters is that when a person is in a state of emotional arousal that is not helpful, that does not serve to solve the problem at hand, if there is a problem at hand,
mm-hmm.
when that can be changed and altered on a permanent basis, I don't really need to know more than that. I just need to know how to apply the method.
Well, and certainly all the people who suffer, who are in the hundreds of thousands in the United States and throughout the world, I don't think they would care either.
No, I don't
Getting
think
rid
so.
Of it is the goal.
That's
and,
the goal.
You know, people, most people who are suffering from PTSD won't go to therapy because they know, and this is a mind blower, they know that they will be re-traumatized in the therapy because they will be asked to talk in detail about the rape, the gunshot,
yes.
the whatever it was that started the thing. And they know that that isn't helpful.
Exactly. They know
it
that
makes them worse.
They know that talking about it, if it doesn't stimulate that same response, doesn't help it go away either.
Right. So this is something that is a totally different approach.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about, a lot of my listeners are familiar with EMDR,
uh-huh.
Eye movement.
And desensitization.
Reprogramming. Right. And it's similar, except for, well, it's similar in a lot of ways. So can we compare and contrast?
Well, I'd say both of them are similar in that they are completely outside the contemporary or the traditional medical definition of what is necessary to heal a problem, and I think it's because somehow both EMDR and energy therapy approach the brain in a way that is beneath awareness. People who are helped by EMDR have no way of knowing how that helps. Even the people who are thoroughly trained in EMDR might have some theories, but nobody really knows. The fact is that it does work.
Well, I can certainly testify that both systems work. I've had both, and they're amazingly powerful to eliminate those triggers.
Well, the appeal to me is not just that they work, but that they work without the patient having any clue as to how it's working, and they seem to address the source rather than the symptom.
Well, one of the things that I would say is when people ask, well, what happened? I have no idea what happened. You know, what did you talk about? I don't know. It's sort of this very quiet experience mm-hmm. that defies explanation, but at the same time, it gets rid of the triggers.
That's right.
So the PTSD is gone.
Exactly.
And that's the point. And so what blows my mind is, why doesn't everyone embrace this? What they're currently doing is not working.
Well, I think the reason they don't embrace it is that it doesn't make sense, and there isn't much support for it in the professions that traditionally treat, quote, medical issues. The psychological community is very, very reluctant to accept the energy therapy.
And yet, most of the therapists in Astoria have some training in either energy therapy or EMDR. Most have had some, mm-hmm. and they're not, at least in conversations casually, they're not opposed to it. In fact, a lot of them say that they use it.
Well, the psychology community generally at large,
the
American Psychological
counselors in a different category from psychologists.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, different camps.
Different camp, and I never call myself a counselor. I'm a therapist because my focus is on having healing occur, and since I don't heal, what I do is facilitate a process that within the individual that produces healing. I don't heal. And counseling.
Well, I would say that nobody does.
Well, but I think
the healing happens from within.
Counseling to me is essentially talk therapy, mm-hmm. trying to convince the brain, the mental process, to do things differently. And my understanding is that it isn't the thought process that's causing it. It's the wrong approach. Mm-hmm. It's like trying to use your dinner fork as a key. It isn't going to open the door, no matter what you do. But if you get the right kind of fork and you jiggle it just so, it might work once.
Maybe. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue talking and maybe do a little sample. You are listening to Your Health at coastradio.org, KMUN 91.9, and KGCB 89.5. If you want to join in the conversation, give a call at 503-325-0010, and we'll be right back. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with Alan Batchelder, who is a retired family therapist, and we're talking about energy therapy. Okay, so so we talked about that it's sort of nebulous what happens. I mean, it's hard to describe, and we don't really know what happens, but something definitely happens.
Metaphorically, I can describe what happens, but it's pure metaphor. So I couldn't be quoted in saying this is exactly how this works.
Well, how people describe how they feel afterwards to me is they feel lighter, as in the burden that they experience in their life is less burdensome, or maybe the burden is completely gone. So that lightening, they feel like suddenly they can move forward with their life where before they were stuck. Mm-hmm. They describe things like that, which are not really very concrete, but they're certainly, we know what those things mean.
Well, as a therapist, I can tell when the change has occurred because their whole demeanor changes. The physical shape seems to be altered. Faces are altered. There's a light in the eyes that wasn't there before. Color of the skin changes. Breathing changes. I don't have to ask.
I can see it, but what I'll ask is,
what do you feel now? And outcome words like, I don't know, I just feel so much more relaxed. Mm-hmm. I'm just at ease, and I haven't felt like this in I don't know how long.
Or ever.
Right. It's just a release of that internal tension, mm-hmm. the readiness to defend against an enemy that's not present. The amygdala thinks it's present, mm-hmm. so it's a and thoughts can trigger PTSD, sounds can trigger it,
smells,
just any number of things, smells exactly,
mm-hmm.
even wind in the face can do that,
right? Any sense can trigger that kind of a fear response,
right?
All right, so maybe we should talk about what actually happens. I mean, what you do.
Well, what I do, this is my favorite part about telling you this, because it's so different from what people have come to expect from, quote, psychotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
That is, we do a relaxation exercise, and I've taught you this, was rubbing the neurolymphatic reflex and saying, I deeply and completely accept myself with all my problems and shortcomings, three times. Now, mm-hmm. what this does, what the effect is, a calming, a quieting down of resistance or anxiety. How it does that, I'm not sure, but the metaphor is that it's saying out loud in a way that the amygdala can pick it up, even though that things are not going smoothly internally or externally. I don't need an intervention from the amygdala. I don't need that action, and the amygdala says, "Oh, okay,
I'll calm down,"
and calms down. That's the outcome.
Now, the neurolymphatic point is
reflex.
in the left side of the upper
left
chest.
There's a place in there that's a little bit tender, maybe like an old bruise. And just rub it with the flat of your fingers, mm-hmm. gently in a circle,
mm-hmm.
and say, "I deeply and completely accept myself with all my problems and shortcomings," three times.
You know, one of the things that I think occurs when you do that is, to say it, you have to be thinking about it. So then you're not thinking about whatever this other thing is. So there's a distraction from the previous anxiety, fear, whatever else, I mean, or whatever you're thinking
about.
Well,
you have to focus on this.
It brings you right into, and then you're touching a place that's tender. So then you're focused on your body. It completely changes whatever you were.
Well, 80% of the lymph in your body goes through this spot. So my sense of it is the rubbing actually is sending a stimulus, an energetic stimulus, all through your body.
Uh-huh.
And you're right. Your focus is on saying this very unfamiliar thing while rubbing this unfamiliar spot.
And, of course, at the same time, one is thinking, oh, this is such nonsense. Oh,
yes.
I don't believe this at all.
Yes,
so there's a little argument going on that I'm saying this, I completely and accept myself with all my flaws. Yeah, right. Remember that stupid thing you did this morning?
Right. This is not an affirmation. This is really an instruction to your brain. Yes, I remember.
Right, and you don't have to believe it. You just do it.
I know it. I remember a woman who had received the benefits of this energy therapy brought in a niece who was having a PTSD experience. And when I had her do this, the girl just gave me a real weird face. And she said, "It's all right, honey. It's all right. I understand. I thought it was BS, too."
And it doesn't matter.
No, you can, it doesn't matter.
BS or not.
That's right.
It still works. It refocuses you.
It's not what you think. You see, that's the whole thing. It isn't what you think. It's what goes on inside that part of your brain that you don't know anything about.
Okay, so after that, what?
Okay, so we do that, and that opens the door to the next layer of treatment. And then I'll say something like, I imagine that there's something in your history that was really traumatic for you, that if you were to talk about it and think about it, would still be upsetting. I don't want you to do that, but I'm imagining there is. And what I'd like you to think about is, if you were to talk about it and think about it, how distressed would you be on a scale of 0 to 10?
10.
So we'll write that down. That's how distressed you would be if you were to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now do this and tap on this point and these various points and focus on where in your body you feel that. So I'd ask him that, you know, where do you feel?
Right.
I feel it in my stomach.
I feel it in my stomach.
So put your attention on that point in your stomach, that tension, and tap here. And we would tap on a number of acupuncture points beginning to up above the eyebrows and complete a cycle of that twice, and then asking the question, now, if you were to think about that particular instance, how distressed would you be? And 9 times out of 10, the number will be at least half of what it had been, and often more, and sometimes it would be not there.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal is for it to be not there.
Absolutely. So then you're not having a response.
And then I say, so I ask them, what do you notice? Well, they always have a physiological response and a psychological reaction to this treatment that's quieter, that's more comfortable. As I say, you can see it in their eyes, in their skin.
Okay, so this is like so incredibly simple.
Yes.
So, like, what's the holdup?
It's because it is so far out. There is so little in your experience. It took me a while to get to the point where I'm totally comfortable.
It seems weird. That is true.
But there are a great many energy therapists in the world that didn't used to be there.
Right, right. Okay, so let's talk about, you wanted to offer, if a group of people wanted to do some work with energy work.
Yes.
That in a safe environment that you would facilitate such a thing.
I'll give a phone number.
Okay.
If they want to call me, I have two phone numbers. Right now, we have a number in Seaview, Washington, and that's 360-642-2139. There's a message machine on that phone. The other one is in Astoria, and I'm there sometimes and I'm not. It's my old office number. It's 503-325-1504. And if I'm there to answer the phone, I will get an answering machine on that one of these days. But to leave a message, and we'll begin a process of locating a space where anyone who has any form of PTSD who would like to have this experience, have an opportunity to clear the PTSD, I will meet with a group, at least 5 people, and as many as 20, to meet in one space and do the treatment as a group. And I will predict a very high percentage of complete healing in one session. I'm really I don't have any money to put on that, to do something.
There's no charge for doing this.
Absolutely no charge.
Okay, I think that's one of the deals when you don't have a license. If I didn't have a license to practice chiropractic, I might be able to do treatments, but I certainly can't charge for it.
Oh, no.
But I'm not even sure if I can do it. But anyway, I do have my license.
So. Well, and since this PTSD, I mean, since this energy therapy is kind of outside the model of my that mm-hmm. my license was based on, you see, I feel free to do that, and I really want to do it. As far as I'm concerned, in terms of the veteran population, it's the best way I know to say thank you to the veterans.
Right. Free them from the horrors.
Freedom from the PTSD. Mm-hmm. Right?
That sounds great. Okay, so anything else we should talk about?
I don't think so. Isn't it nice that there's not ice on the ground outside?
Well, I was nervous about Irving. I stayed off of Irving because it never gets in the shady places. There hasn't been sun for the whole time that it's been frozen.
Right, and there are patches on Franklin that are still white.
So there's some issues.
Well, I never complain about the weather. I love the weather in this region because when it's cloudy and dark, it's a good time to take photographs, and when it's bright and sunny, it's not so good for photograph, but it feels good, and so we have a complete range. I never have thought this is a bad day. It might be a bad day to walk on the beach, but it's not a bad day. But a week or so ago, I was out walking, and it was so cold and so wet, the thought occurred to me that this was a nasty day. I had never thought of that. But it's not. It's a lovely day today, even without a sign of the sun.
Well, I think any day that one is alive is a good day.
True enough.
So I'm for that. Well, let's see. Next week, Sharon Anderson and other community garden activists will be here. We'll be talking about how last year went and planning for next year. Every year we've had more community gardens popping up all over the place. It's an incredibly popular movement, and I'm part of it and love it. And we'll be talking about that. So Digging the Dirt will be here. And the Clatsop Association of Realtors is collecting new and slightly used socks in all sizes for the 2013 project Homeless Connect Jessica McClay Memorial on January 31st at the Seaside Convention Center. Donations can be dropped off at the Pete Anderson Realty at 750 Marine in Astoria. There might be a drop-off at some realtor in Seaside, I would imagine.
These are
as
socks,
well.
Are footwear, right?
Right, socks or footwear. And tonight, the Astoria City Council meets at 7 p.m. at the City Hall. And it is 9:59. You are listening to KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM and KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM and streaming live on the web at coastradio.org. And this program is available as a free downloadable podcast. It'll be ready in about an hour at coastradio.org. And all of the public affairs program, including Digging the Dirt and To Your Health, are there if you missed a program in the past. Yes, Alan.
The words are, I deeply and completely accept myself with all my problems and shortcomings.
Oh, with all my, okay, problems and shortcomings. Okay, that sounds great. Talk to you in a week. I'm Ann Goldine.